Morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 55th chapter, Perek Nun Hei of Sefer Yeshayahu. This Perek should sound very familiar to us. Those who go to Shul on a fast day will recognize the second half of this as being this the beginning, the introduction to the Haftorah of a fast day, of a Ta'anis Tzibur. It's going to overflow into Nun Vav as well, but a lot of the words, a lot of the phrases are going to be phrases we know, we recognize. Many songs may be made out of this. So this is very familiar territory. Let's try to dig into it. There's really two sections of this Perek. The first section runs from Aleph to Hey, the last section from Vav to Yud Gimel. Let's try to look at them independently. The first one seems to be focused around a metaphor about water and food. Let's try to work this out. So the starting point of Pasuk is one which is a familiar phrase. Hoy kol tzomei lechu l'mayim. Anybody who is thirsty, go to find whatever. Asher en lo kesef lechu shivru ve'echolu. Anybody who does not have money to pay for the water, go and break bread, go and get bread, and then go and get without money, without kesef, the wine and milk. Strange description over here. And then Yeshayahu questions, why is it that you're wasting your money without bread, getting bread, you're toiling without ever feeling full? Rather, listen to me, eat what you need and feel good, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's some sort of metaphor as to what this bread is. And he says, please listen to me, don't, and this is the only way you're going to really succeed. Listen, like, as I made an eternal covenant, Yeshayahu says, with David HaMelech, so too I'm going to make it with you. As he was a king, was recognized by other nations, his prodigy, who's Mashiach, will teach them what they need to hear. And finally he says, Hein goylo seida tikra, that, you know how you know this is that when other nations will start flocking to you, recognizing that there's truth to what you're saying, that's what's going to happen. Because of the holiness that you represent, if you choose to represent it. So, just understand in this section over here, there seems to be this great idea that the currency seems to be food, seems to be water. What is really going on over here? The Malbim has a very complex explanation in which he basically says that the water primarily is Torah and melechem is the spiritual sustenance of the body, which is the Torah and the mitzvahs. And what he basically argues is that Yeshayahu is saying to the Jews, understand what keeps you vibrant, understand what keeps you alive. You seem to be spending a lot of time on all these other things. And by the way, there are good other things. There are things which we'll call luxuries, perhaps the wines or the milks in life. But if you spend your entire time having luxuries and you don't really have the staple, the basic diet, if you're too busy spending your money on other things or investing your time, you're going to end up at the end of the day maybe with a lot of luxuries but without necessarily any meat and potatoes, without any essential sustenance. And so in the spiritual sense, he's talking to a generation, of course, which, as we saw beforehand, towards the beginning of Yeshayahu's career, was an opulent generation, generation which had lots of money, generation which had a lot of arrogance. And he's saying to them, look, come back, listen to the word of Hashem, because that's the only thing which is really going to sustain you. It's the only thing that's going to be there for you when your wealth does disappear. This is the first stage of the Perek. The next stage of the Perek is where the Haftorah starts, which is Dirshu Hashem Behimatzoi, Kira Uhu Biyosai Korav. Call out, search out Hashem when he is found, and call him when he is close. And at this point in time, the general overview of the section is he tells the evil that the evil will leave their ways and people will do teshuva. This is obviously relating to fast days where we're supposed to do teshuva. And Hashem will say that even at the time when you were a Rasha and you did teshuva, I'll listen to you. Why? Ki yarbeli slach. Hashem has a lot of forgiveness. He's willing to take people back. And then Hashem says, makes it very clear. My thoughts are certainly not your thoughts, O human beings. Rather, the heavens are so broad, so vast. That's how different my plans, my perception are to your lowly logical plans. Just as, now he uses a second metaphor around water. This metaphor is a little different. Just as rain will come and snow will come to the ground, it will never return, the precipitation, it will never return in the cycle of evaporation until it's really done what it needs to. That it lands on the plant that it needs to, that it fertilizes the ground that it needs to, and it gives seed. It allows the growing process of the seed to go on. That's how Kenya Devaria Shayetse Mipi Lo Yashuv Elai Rekom. My word will never come back empty. It will have done what it's needed to have do. to do. And he talks about this, when it does do this, there will be this great simcha from the mountains to the seas, and all the atzei asadeim chauchof will be clapping. And at this point in time, tachas anatzutzi alevarosh, under the thorn bush, there will be this beautiful, beautiful growth. There will be this cypress which will growing under the nettle, or myrtle will rise. The beautiful description over here, and Hashem's name will be lo'os olam lo yikores, will never be cut down. A lot of things to think about in this last section over here, obviously very enigmatic, very metaphoric. First of all, and the basic thing is, what is this metaphor of the rain and the word of Hashem? So Barbanel says very clearly that the rain is of course Hashem's word. What is it about? It is about, it's a metaphor for Geula. If you want the Mashiach to come, realize there is only way to for it to come, and that is for you to want and therefore pray for it. This perhaps is why, halachically speaking, we have a halachic notion of what's called Smichas Geula Litzvila, that we need to place the Baruch of Goal Yisrael, the third Baruch of Kiryat Shema, right before, without any interruption. Some people even try to say it silently to avoid saying Amen, to create an interruption between it and Tvila. Because Tefillah is the catalyst for Geula. That's the way it works. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, understand, like rain is a blessing. That's the way that the Mashiach is a blessing, and it will only come if you really, really want it. What is the metaphor at the end of the, of this thorn bush, this briar, and the cypress tree? So the general idea, what seems all the Mephoreshim seem to say, is that this is going to be about the recompense, the payment back to those who suffered so terribly and were good, and those who were so terrible and did not get what they deserved. Under the evil will sprout forth, they'll be overturned. You can imagine, you see this terrible growth taking over the garden, and really underneath it is this magnificent, majestic growth. This cypress tree ascends in the place of all these briars and thorns. In fact, the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Amabez, actually says this is, we can actually triangulate this, we can work out when this actually occurred, and that it refers to the story of Mordechai and Esther, and describes how Haman would be uprooted by a Mordechai in the palace of Achashverosh, and Vashti, who's the descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, Harasha, will be uprooted and replaced by Esther Amalka herself. Very, very powerful description, and perhaps a symbol for future Geulahs, where we need to really watch Hashem's hand in things and seeing how the we'll call it the silent hand behind the scenes, which creates the real true din v'cheshbon that we've been waiting for. One last thing to think about, one last point to ponder on this section, and that is that the assertion of this first pasuk in the Haftorah section is Dirshu Hashem b'motzo, is to call out to Hashem when he is close, which gives the impression that sometimes he is not close. How exactly does that work? Are there times Hashem is close to Hashem and the times Hashem is not closer? So actually, the Gemara in Megillah, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, deals with this exact issue. And the Gemara says, it actually quotes a stira, a contradiction, because in Devarim Perek Dalet we say, Ka Hashem Elokeinu b'chol karein elav. Mi ka Hashem Elokeinu b'chol karein elav? Who is like Hashem, our God, that wherever we call him out, he listens to us. So how does it work? Is he always available to us, or is it only when he is by Yosai Korov, when he is approximate to us? So Gemara resolves this by saying that when, it's referring to a case of changing one's gzardin, changing one's decree from heaven. When can one do this? So as a community, it's b'chol korein olav. Any time that we call out to Hashem as a community, united as one front, as one voice, as one heart, we can change. We can shift HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan if we do so wholeheartedly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that this is going to work and is necessary at this point in time. However, when it comes to individuals, there is this particular time, and around that time, which is particularly important, that is Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Obviously, building up and moving down from that, of course, is significant. But those are the times when an individual can be able to change, which is why it's so significant as they enter into Aseres Yemei Teshuva, to be able to appreciate the significance and the gravity of those days. And that's what Yeshayahu is referring to, Dirshu Hashem Behimatzai. Call Ugun Tzika Hashem when he is close, because when his hand is outstretched to us, and we ignore it, that itself potentially is an avla, is a missed opportunity, is a sin, because we did not take advantage of that. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.